Well, you can't tell the history of the United States without also including the history of slavery. But Alan Chuse has written a new novel called Song of Slaves in the Desert. It looks at that history through a different perspective, a slave family and its owners who are Jewish. Alan's the novelist, is a novelist and professor at George Mason University. You might know him as the books reviewer for NPR's All Things Considered. And Alan, I'm wondering what led you to this particular story.
There's a kernel that began to grow in my mind. If kernels can grow, is that a metaphor?
Absolutely,
The seed of it began to grow in my mind. It was planted by, as it happens, an old fraternity brother of mine. I went to Lafayette College for 1 year and joined a Jewish fraternity, the president of which was a black man named Leonard Jeffries, who in the 90s began to emerge as one of the loudest voices of black nationalism in America. And there was a huge controversy at Columbia as to whether he should keep his job as chair of the Black Studies program or whether he should keep his tenure at all. A lot of people wanted to fire him because he declared, white people were the ice people, black people were the sun people. That's an interesting metaphor to explore. But then he said the Jews were responsible for all of the slave trade, for funding the slave trade in North America. And that was a bit much, I thought. And I thought, well, I knew Lenny back when, and I should look into this.
He didn't hate me. You mean you must have been personally hurt by it.
It was a strange emotion, I have to say. But I wanted to find out how much truth there was to his statement about the Jews' involvement in the slave trade. And I discovered, reading history after history, that there was a tiny percentage of Southern Jews who owned plantations and owned slaves. Most of the Jews were were tradespeople and in professions, but a tiny percentage of them did own slaves. They didn't control the North American slave trade. They didn't bankroll the North American slave trade. But there was a story there, I realized.
And you kind of have to distinguish that this is a novel because it sometimes reads like historical fiction in a way.
Well, what I discovered writing a number of novels prior to this that are set in the past is that all fiction is historical fiction and all fiction is contemporary fiction.
Now, you chose this subject, and I want to ask you about why you chose to address it in the way that you did. I mean, we're talking about, obviously, issues which are extremely volatile, sometimes still very personal after mm-hmm. centuries, not just in terms of African-American slaves, not just in terms of the South versus the North, but also in terms of the relationship between Jews and blacks,
yes.
which goes back centuries. And has often been like a pendulum and swinging back and forth between closeness and understanding and distrust.
Yes, the great tradition of Judaism, Jews know themselves to be some of the first slaves in history. But slavery was an equal opportunity. And anyone who was in business knew that they could make a good fortune by keeping slaves or running a plantation. In this case, the plantations run by a Jewish family. They're Dutch Jews, actually, who emigrated up from the Dutch Antilles. And they are not doing as well as they might expect. And so they've invited this young fellow down from New York, a young Jewish businessman from New York, to come down and see if he will recommend to his father, who is the brother of the man who owns the plantation, to buy in. So it's the story of the strange story of how human beings use other human beings in commercial transactions. It's a murderous story.
It's brutal. It's sometimes very difficult to read.
I don't know offhand that the slave narratives include as much brutality as was actually practiced upon people. I think the people who suffered the most from the brutality didn't speak, couldn't speak, didn't write, couldn't write. But the book I tried to write is a book about slavery versus freedom, the evolution of human freedom over the course of time. In a little grandiose gesture, I begin this book about 30,000 years B.C.,
Yeah.
and it comes up through New York and Berkeley at the beginning of the 20th century.
And you actually have something that you can read to us from the beginning of the book.
Yes. This is a brief opening passage. It's called An Eruption, the Stone. The shockwave jarred them from sleep and sent them stumbling to their feet. Next came the roar of exploding earth and a sky in flames. From that maelstrom in the heavens did a voice call out to them, "Go, hurry." The three of them, the man first, the woman following slightly behind, the child trailing off to one side, hurried away across the steaming plain, making their first marks, footprints, in the yielding layer of ash. That comes from a dig that I read about in
an archaeological
in Kenya.
Dig.
Yeah, where the first human footprints, a family, mother, father, and a child, imprinted in this volcanic ash on a plain in Kenya near an old erupting volcano.
Did your novelization, does the fiction also mirror for you, Alan Schuse, your evolution of your understanding of racism?
Absolutely. I know a lot more, having finished this book, than I knew before I began it.
What did you learn?
How personal it is, no matter how much we think we are emancipated. How horrible it was, no matter how much we thought we knew of the horrors. And how much the struggle gives us a chance to understand our individual struggle for freedom in time. Everybody wants to be free, but nobody knows how to struggle unless they get some facts about their own lives in relation to history.
And you must, as you're watching the events, especially right now happening in the Middle East, you must see echoes of exactly what you wrote about in modern day and present time in people's fight against what they see as absolute repression.
Yes, that's what I was saying about how historical fiction is really contemporary fiction. And contemporary fiction is history. I mean, we're living in history now. We just don't call it that.
The book is called Song of Slaves in the Desert, a novel of slavery and the Southern Wild by Alan Schuse. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.